Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise God for being here on the air again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Yes, we are live. We are back on the air, y'all. And if you are listening to me right now, thank you, Jesus. You are blessed, not because you're hearing my voice, but because if you are hearing my voice, you are in the land of the living, and that is a reason to give God some praise on today. Ah, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I thank him. Hallelujah. For being with you guys on today. Hallelujah. Being on the air, being back on the air, it's like a breath of fresh air being back on here again. Hallelujah. I thank God for the break, but I missed you guys. I missed you. I missed each and every one of you in Jesus' name. Those that are listening around the world in Jesus' name, not just here in the United States, but around the world in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're being heard in many, many different countries here on the Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name. Thank God for you all being here on today and just listening in. I just posted on my Facebook page to come on and listen to the show today. I've been posting things about the show on today and the topic on today. My God, I'm filled to the brim right now because before we even got started, I started praying and just started praising the Lord because this is a day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we shall rejoice and be glad in it on today. Today, we're going to be talking about a very, very powerful topic. And it is a topic that's not really it's talked about, but it's not really talked about in depth. And the reason why I say in depth is because a lot of people in the church and outside the church, don't tap into what we're getting ready to talk about. They go to the surface of this topic, but they don't get in depth into it. So we're going to get in depth into this. We're going to be talking about reaching untapped faith. Reaching untapped faith. We have a lot of examples in the Bible where the different ones that we read about in the Word of God that have reached untapped faith. One person that comes to mind off the top of my head who we all have read about, whether you're in or out of the church, you probably have read or have heard about it, Job. We know about the woman with the issue of blood. We know about the three Hebrew boys. We know even just alone, the biggest person that had the most best faith was Jesus. Amen. He had the best faith. He is the faith. He is the church. Amen. He's the one that brings the faith to us in Jesus' name. So we're going to be talking about that today. But before I jump into that, I want to say this. I've been doing some studying on this topic and on some other things. And the Lord has assured me, yes, he has showed me that the topic that we have had on this show and on previous shows have been great. They've been outstanding. But the Lord is getting ready to take it to higher heights and deeper depths. And not just this show, but the whole network. He has showed me that he is getting ready to take the Spirit Alive Network and what we're doing in our outside of the Spirit Alive Network, what we're doing in our various ministries, he's getting ready to take us to higher heights and deeper depths in him. So those that are on the Spirit Alive Network, get ready. Get ready. Amen. But as I said, the topic today is reaching untapped faith. Now, the thing is about faith. What is faith? We got to understand what faith is. What is it? Is it just, now, faith, you might say, well, it's just simply belief. Belief. But in my studying of the word of the word of God and the word faith and the word belief, it goes hand in hand, but it is also separate. Faith goes beyond believing, because belief is, you can believe something and not partake in it. For example, you might say, well, how can you believe something and you don't partake in it? Because if you look at the, and there's no, when I say this, there is no shot at anybody. I'm not taking shots at anybody's beliefs or religion. We're not here to do that. But what I'm getting ready to say is this. This is what the Lord gave me. The reason why you can believe in something and not partake in it is because Lord gave me an atheist. An atheist has to believe in something to not believe in it. Because how can you believe in something that does not exist? If it doesn't exist, what is there to believe? Amen? What is there to believe? What is there not to believe in if it does not exist? There's nothing to believe in. There's nothing to not believe in either. So, in that, belief, well, faith itself goes beyond belief. But yet, we still, you might say, well, the word belief is in the Bible, and which it is. It is in the Bible. The word belief, you hear Jesus say, believe in me. Believe in me. You hear him say that in the word of God. But let me show y'all something. When he said the word belief, he took it beyond the natural. He took it into the spiritual. See, when a person just uses believe me, you can say that word and be nonchalant about it. But when Jesus used that word belief, he was talking about have faith in me. When he used the word trust in me, he was using the word have faith in me. That I will do exceedingly and abundantly more than you could ever ask or think. That is why faith goes beyond belief. If you've ever seen the show a long time ago, it was a show that it came out when I was a kid. The show was called Beyond Belief. You can't go beyond belief unless you have faith. It doesn't make sense. You have to have faith to go beyond your belief, because your belief system is not the same as God's belief system. It's not on the same level. Why? Because our natural belief, if you believe in something, it's below faith. And it I hope that you're, really getting the concept of what I'm trying to say. But when you go with faith, see, let me read this scripture. This is the scripture that God gave to me. And this is the thing. We need faith so that we can believe in Christ and serve Christ. We need faith just to believe him. How do I know? Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, It says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, like I said, you can believe in something and not partake in it, and you can believe in something and not see it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you believe it. You could say all day that I believe that this chair can hold me up, and until you sit in it, you won't know it. See, the Bible also says faith without works is what? Dead. See, in faith, you have to push it. Belief, this is why faith goes beyond belief, because belief is an action word. It goes hand in hand with faith, but faith goes beyond belief. But faith, that's why faith and belief go hand in hand, because belief is an action word. If you believe it, you're going to act on it. You're going to act upon what you believe. If you have faith in something, the Bible says faith without works is dead. So if you believe it, you're going to act on it. So your faith is going to be put in action. How do I put my faith in action? Well, you do it with your praise unto God. You do it with your worship. You do it with your giving. You do it with your pressing. The Bible says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is in what? Christ Jesus. You press. It does not matter what situation you're going through. That is reaching your untapped faith. How do I know? Job had untapped faith. When the people came against him, when his own wife came against him, and you might say, well, she didn't come against him. Yes, she did. Well, she still loved Job. Yes, she still loved Job, but she still said, why don't you curse God and die? That ain't love. That wasn't showing love at that time. Because if you really, really love somebody, you're going to back them. Now, if they're doing right, you're going to back them up any way that you can. But there are times in our lives when people do not understand your faith. There are going to be times where people just won't understand the faith. If you get to that untapped faith, if you reach that untapped faith that you've never been able to reach before, that faith that says, I don't care what I'm going through. I don't care where I'm at. I don't care what the devil may throw at me. I don't care what man says. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to have faith in God. Nobody's going to break my faith. Then nobody is going to be able to remove me from the faith I have in him. There's no way. There's no way I'm going to be able to break. I'm going to press to the mark. I'm going to press. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to press through this. That is the faith that God is talking about. That's that now faith. That's that untapped faith is now faith. I may not see it, but it's coming. My breakthrough is right around the corner. And the breakthrough may not be around the corner, but it might take weeks. It might take days, it might take weeks, it might take months, it might take years. But you see it in the spirit. My breakthrough is right around the corner in the spirit, in your faith. See, that's where faith goes beyond belief. That's where faith goes beyond. That's your untapped faith. That Job had untapped faith. Everything that Job went through, he had untapped faith. He never took down for what he believed in. He never cursed God foolishly. He never ever charged God foolishly. He never did that. Some people that have belief, they believe one minute and then they ready to just leave the church. They ready to just leave God when all hell breaks loose, you ready to leave God. That's not faith. And that sure ain't untapped faith. But when you know that you know that you know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than you could ever ask or think, that is that untapped, you're tapping into that untapped faith. You're reaching that untapped faith. Now, are we going to be perfect in everything that we do? No. We're striving for perfection. We won't be perfected until we make the heaven. But we can reach for that untapped faith. Job reached his untapped faith when he went through all that he went through. And look, let me show y'all something. Job went through all that in a day, one day. He lost everything in one day. He lost everything in one day. But watch this. Faith, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. Why do I need evidence for? The evidence of things not seen. God is preparing. See, sometimes what we need, sometimes what we're asking God to do, some things we are not ready for. I told y'all before. Before we went on our break, I told y'all, anything that God tells me to say, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. And I'm going to put it point blank, period. If the way God tells me to say it, that's just the way it is. We cannot have faith in God and 1 minute have faith and the next minute be outside the church. Our next minute be outside of him because we upset that we didn't receive what we wanted. That's not faith. That's you. That's your flesh. And some in the church do that. 1 minute, if everything going right, woo, I praise God. And some of us get to the place where if we got everything going on and everything's going right and bills paid and we got gas in the tank and a little bit of money in the bank and all that stuff. Some of us act like we don't even need God because, hey, look, we got everything we want. And some of us act like half of us act like we don't need God no more because we got everything we want. And half of us act like, well, I'm going to praise God because I got everything. And then the other half of us act like, hey, we ain't got much, so I ain't going to praise God at all. I'm just going to leave God. I think it's going to be better. Grass is greener on the other side. And then the other half of us that got everything we want, well, I don't need God no more. What's wrong with you? Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Oh, Zion, what's the matter now? We have a faith in God that God has, we have a faith that God has given us. I'm not talking about mustard seed faith. Now, mustard seed faith is good. That's the beginning faith. And if you've ever seen the size of a mustard seed is small. I mean, it's real small. Smaller than small. But the day and age that we are living in now, we can't just have mustard seed faith forever. Our faith has to grow. That mustard seed grows into a plant that's beyond the size of that mustard seed. Our faith has to grow and grow and grow, not just grow years, but daily. Well, how do I get my faith to grow? Faith, there you go. He just dropped faith on you? No, it don't work that way. Your faith grows as you go through the process of life. Your faith grows. You reach that untapped faith as you go through the process, as I go through the process, as Bishop Cook goes through the process, her faith grows. As my faith grows as I go through the process of life, that's how I reach my untapped faith. You cannot have faith and not go through a problem. I'm going to say it again. If you don't go through a problem, you will not have faith. I'm going to say it one more time for the people in the back. You cannot say, I don't want to go through nothing and not have faith. You can't. You can't have faith without going through something. You might as well not eat. If you, those that want more faith, get ready to go through something. Lord, I want more faith in you. You asking for trouble. If you ask for more wisdom, you asking for trouble. I want a better praise. Well, you're going to have to go through some stuff. You're going to have to make some sacrifices to get that faith. For example, I remember in 2010, I went on vacation one time, and on my vacation, I said, and now I see it as one of the, and I say this as a joke, I said one of the most stupidest things I could ever say to my pastor at the time. My former pastor, I said one of the most stupidest things I could ever say to her in my walk with Christ. And that stupid thing was before I got back, you know, I was well, I was getting rest and everything, and I felt like I could jump over hurdles. And I was talking to I called my pastor while I was on vacation and everything, and she said, "How you doing?" And I'm doing good, Mom. I'm doing real well. I'm doing good. You got energy? Yes, ma'am. I got all the energy in the world. I'm ready to work. That's the most stupidest thing I could ever say to her. She said, "You are? You ready to work now? I got enough strength. I'm ready to jump over hurdles. I'm ready to fight devils. I'm ready to do all this. I'm ready." Oh, okay. Because she put me to the test. And she had me working. That's why I said if I wasn't ready, if I hadn't have been ready and if I would have said that, that would have been stupid for me to say that. Thank God I had the strength to be able to work. Because she worked me. She worked me in the church. I'm ready to work for the Lord. That's what I said. That's what I said to her. I said that to say this. Don't ask for faith if you ain't ready to receive the faith, because God's not going to just drop faith on us. Faith in him, he's not just going to drop it on us. He sends it through tests. He sends our faith, our increase in faith through the tests and the trials of life. How do I know? The things that we go through increase the things in God. King Solomon was the most wisest man on the face of the earth. Why? Because King Solomon asked, when God asked him, when he asked Solomon, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, basically asked Solomon, "What do you want from me?" And he said, "Give me wisdom to lead your people." He didn't just drop wisdom on Solomon. He didn't just say, "Oh, here's wisdom." He allowed Solomon to go through some stuff. He allowed Solomon to make decisions to gain that wisdom, to see what he would do. See, when you go through faith, when you ask God for increased faith or increase anything, not just faith, God will allow you to go through some stuff. Or you might say, "Well, God, use me so that people might be able to serve you more." Okay. Well, you said it. God might send you through something, or God might send me through something. See, the one thing is that when we say these things, and I know this thing is about faith, but when we say the things that we say to God, we need to watch. Me too. We need to watch what we say to God. We need to watch the vows we make to God. Because it's better for you not to even make the vow if you know you're going to break it. That's why I hate New Year's resolutions. Me personally, and this is not Bible, so I guess you can make New Year's resolutions if you want to. I don't make New Year's resolutions. I don't. I never make New Year's resolutions. I don't. There's no need for me. Why do I need to make a New Year's resolution? If I just go to God and let Him do it, I don't need to make New Year's resolutions. Now, I'm not saying you can do whatever people can do whatever they want to do. I don't care. That's just me. That's me personally. That's not Bible. I'm not gonna say it's in the Bible to not make New Year's resolutions because it's not in there. I'm not saying that you can't make New Year's resolutions. If you want to, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. I don't, me personally. And no, the Lord did not convict me of making New Year's resolutions or anything like that. This is something I don't do, me personally. It's not anything in the Bible or anything that the Lord has told me not to do or anything. That's just me. But the thing is, we must tap into our untapped faith. The reason why we must tap into our untapped faith, this is what faith will do for you. If you tap into the untapped faith that the Lord has for you, faith opens doors for us that man would say can't be open. It opens up doors. For example, my testimony. I got a long history of testimonies. All of us do. Not just me, all of us do. We have a long history of testimony. But one of the testimonies that I have that I can't really speak of, but my dad can, my father can, because I was a baby. That's why I said I can't really speak on it. But I don't know what actually took place. I just know that my father said that, you know, I was given a 5% chance to live. And one time I was in the hospital and my heart stopped. Basically, I was dead. I was gone. The doctors came in and told my father. He's gone. There's nothing else we can do. Nothing else. Well, my father did the only thing he knew how to do, and that's fall down on his knees and pray. Just like Abraham, my father had enough faith to believe that God could bring me back. If he could bring me into this world, if he can help me bring me into this world, if God can help bring me into this world, he can help bring me back into this world. Amen. He can help put breath back in my body. He can start back up my heart. And he fell on his face and began to pray. Abraham had the faith enough to believe that God told him, go take your son up there to that mountain and sacrifice your only son. And I'm paraphrasing. And Abraham had enough faith to say that me and my son, me and the lad are coming back down. Me and the lad are coming back down. We're going up to this mountain, but me and the lad are coming back down. That is untapped faith. We have to have faith enough to believe that God is able to do what he said he would do. We have to have it. We have to have it. If we look in the book of Hebrews, and Hebrews, we're going to go back to Hebrews chapter 11, but we're going to drop down to verse number, let's see. Verse number 6. This is why we need to have faith, not just faith, but untapped faith. We need to reach it. We need to reach the untapped faith. Verse number 6 of Hebrews chapter 11 says, but without faith, it is impossible to what? Please him. Who is him? God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, you see that word in there, believe. You must have faith in God. You must believe that God is. You must have faith enough to know that God is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You got to have the faith enough to believe him. And that believe that he has a reward waiting on you if you diligently seek him. Diligently seek his faith. Diligently believe in him. Diligently have faith in him. Because ain't no reason to seek him if you don't have faith in him. Diligently have faith in him. If you diligently have faith in him. Now watch this. Verse number 8, if we go down to verse number 8, it said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. That took faith. It says faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out unto a place which he should, after receiving for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what he was going to do. He didn't even know what God was going to do when he told Abraham to sacrifice his son. He didn't know. He didn't know if he was, he just knew, sacrifice your son. That's all he knew. Go up to this mountain and sacrifice your son. That's all he knew. But he believed, he had faith enough to believe that, hey, if I go up in this mountain with my son, with my only son, me and the lad are going to come back down. Me and my son are going to come back down. And we all know the story. He took his son up to be sacrificed. And right when he drew his knife to slay his only son, to sacrifice his only son, the angel stopped him and said, there's a ram in the bush. He stopped him. He stopped him and said, there's a ram in the bush. And him, Abraham and his son came back down that day from that mountain. That is untapped faith. That's untapped faith. Now, watch this. Let's go to Matthew. Let's go to the book of Matthew. I'm about to show y'all something. I'm about to show y'all something about faith. I'm about to show y'all something else about faith and untapped faith. Matthew chapter 21. Now, we have to have faith to be able to please him. Okay? We have to have faith to be able to please God. We can't serve him without having faith. If you don't have faith in God, you there's no need for you to even serve him. Amen? Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. And this is Jesus saying this. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now, he said, This is Jesus telling us right here. If ye have faith and doubt not, that's that untapped faith. That doubt, see, some of us, this is what some of us do in and out of the church. We have faith in some areas, and in some areas we don't have faith. Let me give you an example. We believe that God can cure a headache, but we don't believe God can cure cancer. Come on here. We believe God can heal a toe ache, but we don't believe that God can heal AIDS. Come on here. Come on here. We believe that God can bless us with food in the refrigerator, but we don't believe God can if we pay our tithes, we don't believe that God can stretch our money when it's very little. I'm sorry. I just hit a nerve. I'm sorry. Let me look at these notes and make sure they're right. We believe that God can heal our back, but we don't believe God can heal heart disease. And let me tell you something about heart disease. I'm a firm believer that God can heal, because you're listening to one right now. Come on here. That's that untapped faith. See, untapped faith says, look, I've told myself throughout the years, heart disease, because I was diagnosed with it at birth. I was born. They said I was born with it. Now watch this. Me growing up at the age of about 6 or 7, I told my grandmother, my great-grandmother, I told her, this disease or this health problems that I have, because I didn't know what it was at that age, you know, I just knew I had a bad heart. But this stuff with my heart will not beat me. I will beat it. And my great-grandmother, she looked at me, she said, yes, baby, you're going to beat it. You're going to beat it. You're going to beat it. My grandmother, and the Lord knows when I get to heaven, me and my grandmother going to have a talk, because she told my father and my mother, she said, that boy is supposed to be a preacher. That's why the Lord ain't allowing this disease to take him out of here. She said that way back when I was a baby. She said, this boy's supposed to be ministering the word of God. And he will not be taken out of here until he's completed what God has called for him to do. She went on to be with the Lord in 1992. I'm 33 years old. What she said over my life, she had enough faith to believe that God will not take me out. God will not allow things, or he will not take me off this earth. He will not allow things to take me off this earth until I have completed what God has said for me to do. She had that untapped faith. We need to have untapped faith in everything that we do. We cannot live life without faith. We can't do it. Let me show y'all something. I said earlier that faith opens doors for us that man would say can't be open. I gave you some examples, but let me give you a biblical example. Let me show y'all. Let me give y'all some biblical examples. I gave y'all some natural examples. So let's go to the Word of God. Let's go back in. Faith opens up doors to things that it backs up the scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This scripture in Mark chapter number 5, verses 25 through 34, this shows us that now faith. It opens up things. That now faith opens things up. This is faith for healing. It opens up things for healing. Faith opens up things for things of healing. And we're going to drop down the verse, Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34. Go there. And a certain woman, we said this before, which had an issue of blood for 12 years. That's why I said what you go through might take days, might take weeks, might take months, might take years. But your breakthrough is right around the corner. This woman with the issue of blood, she had this issue for 12 years. We just read it. She had this issue for 12 years. 12 years. And it in verse 26 it says, and had suffered many things of many physicians. This means she went to physician after physician, doctor after doctor. And they had no cure. They had no answer. I gave you the example of, the example of me. When my father, when those doctors came in and said, he's gone. Your son is dead. And my father fell down on his face and began to pray. And guess what happened? I didn't tell you the end of that story. I just left y'all in suspense. The doctors went back in and began to see my heart started beating back up again. My heart started back up. And they came with the chest all puffed out and everything and said, Mr. Tuggle, your son's we got your son's heart started back up again, and we did this and we did that. And my father said, well, thank you very much. Thank you for your contribution to my son. But that was not you. Now, y'all, thank you for what you've done, and I thank you for all that you did and trying to help him and all that, because you did do that. But the Lord brought him back. The Bible says the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Amen. He had enough faith just for me because I was a baby. I couldn't pray for myself. But my father stepped in. And look, watch this. Just like if it's just like that parent. When my father, see, Jesus is our spiritual father. He's our father. He's our father. Amen. And where we can't do it, God steps in and does it. We just have to believe. Look, for many, many years as a child, I believed my father could do anything but fail. And I'm not talking about Jesus now. I'm talking about my natural father. He took care of me the best he could. He provided for me. He made sure I had food in my stomach, and he made sure that I had a roof over my head and everything, me and my brothers and my sister. He took care of his family. Amen? And there were moments that some when I was younger I couldn't see, and there were some when I got older that I did see. And I watched my father. This is what we need to do. He had untapped faith enough to believe that if I can't, whatever I can't do in man's power, God, you can do it. And even what I can do in man's power, it's still, you're still doing it because you're giving me the power to be able to do it. I'm still believing in you. I still have faith in you. That untapped faith. I remember my father. He won't mind if I tell this testimony because he's told it before. He was on his job and he's been working. He's still working, Jesus. he's been with the United States Postal Service for 35 years. And in that 35 years, he's had some tests on his job. And one time, they his job told him, you know what, we got to let you go. And he was pending a termination for something that he didn't even do. And his faith was tested because he had a wife and five children to take care of. And one day, we barely had any food in the house. And I remember my father telling this testimony. He said, we were at church. We were all at church. And I remember this. And he said he had about five ones and one $100 bill in his wallet. And my pastor said, if you stretch out on faith and give the biggest bill that you've got in your purse or your wallet, God will bless you. And my father stepped out on faith, and that's that untapped faith. He took that $100 and put it in the offering plate, not knowing what God was going to do. He didn't know what was going to take place. That next week, we needed food in the house. That next week, somebody came with a whole big, 30 and 40 bags of food for the house. This is that untapped faith. This is the thing that we need. This is the thing that we need to do, having that untapped faith. Now, this is the issue right here. It said that the woman with the issue of blood, she went to physician after physician, doctor after doctor, and had spent all that she had and was nothing and was nothing bettered, but either grown worse. She was growing worse. She was getting worse and worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. That means she heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus coming through, and she said, if I can just get to him. And she touched the hem of his garment, and this is where her faith kicked in at. This is where her untapped faith kicked in at. She said to herself, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. If I can just touch, she didn't even have to touch. She didn't even believe that, hey, look. She took her faith way beyond what we would ever take our faith. She didn't even say he had to touch me. She said, if I can just touch but his clothes, I know I'll be made whole. Touching somebody's clothes? Are you serious? You have that much faith that if you touch his clothes, that you'll be made whole. That's some powerful faith. That's some powerful faith. Amen. And she did just that. And straightway, the foundation of her blood was dried up. And then this is verse 29, because I just read verse 28. Verse 29 says, and straightway, the foundation of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? He knew virtue had left him. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude. They're like, Jesus, wait a minute. You asking who touched your clothes, who touched you, and you seen all these people? Yeah, all these people around you. And Jesus knew that it wasn't a normal touch. He felt virtue leave his body. And he said, thou thou seest the multitude throwing thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? You're asking who touched you, and you see this multitude, they're just trying to reach out to you, just trying to get a touch, and you're asking who's touched you? Come on, Jesus, come on now. And he looked around about to see her, that he that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. This is what we need to do. This is how much faith we need to have. This is how much faith we need to have. We need to have that much faith to know that, hey, God, I know you got this. Even like the three Hebrew boys. The three Hebrew boys was threatened by being thrown in the fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar. And King Nebuchadnezzar told them, hey, look, if you don't bow, and I'm paraphrasing, if you don't bow, you're going to be thrown into this furnace. And they said, they told this king, they told the king straight to their face, just like Job told his wife to her face. You're not going to tell me that God can't deliver me. I'm not going here. You might have people come to you and say, wait a minute. You might. That's why I said it on previous shows, it's not good to tell everything. It's not good to tell everybody everything. It's not good to let your left hand know what your right hand doeth. It's not good. It's not good to tell everybody about your dreams. It's not good to tell everybody your goals. It's not good to tell everybody your prayers either. It's not even good. Look, it's not even good to even tell everybody. It's not even good to sometimes even tell yourself out loud your aches and pains. You know why so much of an attack is on us sometimes? Because we talk about it. Not only that, what you speak can happen. You might say, for example, if you woke up and things started off, you know, a little bit, you know, rocky, and you might say, well, and I know today's about to be a bad day today. You know, today is just, it's going to be horrible. What? Wait a minute. Why would you say that? Speak the opposite of what you see. That's the faith. Why would you, if you see it, why would you, that's just like seeing a Mack truck coming towards you and you just run straight for it. It's coming straight to you and it's coming full speed ahead. It's about to run you over, but you don't move out the way. You just run straight into it and it's a smack dead into you. That stuff like that is just, I rolled up on the wrong side of the bed. No, you rolled up on the right side of the bed. You just started off rocky, get your balance and go forth. Get your balance of faith and go forward. Come on now. Because right when you say that, not only what you're speaking happens, but the devil can help make that happen. Because the devil hears you too. Because the devil hears you too. And the devil, they saying that they're going to have a bad day. Well, let me help them out. And you wonder why you got more problems than what you're supposed to have. Because you just said it out loud. Well, this headache is just bad. Oh, my God, this headache is bad. No. Pray over yourself. Now, you know you can pray silently, right? You can pray in your mind. Jesus knows our thoughts. We can pray in our mind. Look, I've said this before. In spiritual warfare, you have to have faith. In spiritual warfare, you got to know how to fight the enemy. fake is look, in spiritual warfare, you have to have faith. How do I know this? Because when it talks about the having on the whole armor of God, one of the pieces of the armor, one of our weapons is what? The shield of what? Faith. It's not just the they just don't have a the breastplate of righteousness, which is good, and the helmet of salvation to protect your mind and having your feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's all well and good, but you got to have some faith in there, because if you don't have faith enough to believe that the breastplate of righteousness is going to help you and the helmet of salvation is going to help you and having your feet shining with the preparation of the gospel of peace and having your sword, which is the word of God, if you don't have that shield of faith, it's not a fact. It's non-void. It's non-void. It won't happen the way it should. Things won't come out the way they need to go unless you have that untapped faith. You need that untapped faith. We need to reach for that untapped faith. Amen? We need to reach for it. Now, In reaching the untapped faith, in reaching our untapped faith, we can't walk in fear. We must not walk in fear. Why? Because walking in fear is unpleasing to the Lord. It is. It's unpleasing. We just read in Hebrews that without faith it is impossible to please God. We just read it. But if we go to Mark chapter 4, let's go to Mark chapter 4. And those that are listening, I encourage you, go back and read these scriptures in these verses. Mark chapter 4, verse 37 through 41. This is unpleasing unto God when you don't have faith. It's unpleasing unto Him. It irks God's nerves. I'm just gonna put it that way. It irks God's nerves if you don't have faith in Him. If you don't have faith, it irks His nerves. I'm just putting it that way because, as a parent, if you telling your child, okay, wait a minute, hold on, I'm going to get it, and they keep coming to you, it irks your nerves. Oh, Daddy, it irks my nerves sometimes when my boys ask me for something. Okay, for example, see, I'm real about mine. My four-year-old, from January, now he's four, and I understand, you know, kids, they love Christmas. I still teach my boys what the meaning of Christmas is, but I let them have their innocence. I let them get their gifts. There's nothing wrong with it. Now, I do tell them that we buy their gifts. I don't believe in that Santa Claus and all that stuff. That type of stuff, no. We ain't doing all that. But I do get them gifts at Christmas. There's nothing wrong with it. But my four-year-old, from the beginning of this year up until now, he's been saying, I'm ready for Christmas. I'm ready for Bubba. Wait a minute, because his nickname, we nicknamed him. I nicknamed him. I call him Bubba. I'll be like, Bubba, you gotta wait a minute. Bub, you gotta wait a minute. Rashad, you gotta wait a minute. I'm ready for Christmas, but he's so amped up and ready for Christmas. He knows what those gifts. He knows those gifts that he's gonna open. He's gonna be so excited. He has that faith to believe, I'm going to get some good gifts. I'm going to get some good stuff. I'm so ready for it. I'm so ready. I'm so eager for it. I'm so ready. That's the same thing we need in our faith. See, a child can teach you a lot. Even even in the little things that they do like that. It can teach you a lot. A child can teach you better than an adult can teach you sometimes. Look, in him doing that, it showed me that that faith thing. He has faith enough to believe, we need to hurry up and have Christmas, for real. And this is his enthusiasm speaking. His enthusiasm is like, hey, we need to hurry up and have Christmas because I know I'm about to get some good gifts. I got some good gifts last year, so I know I'm about to get some even better gifts this year. I know mommy and daddy gonna go all out. Give me the gifts. But that's the same thing we need in our walk with God. That's the same thing we need in our walk with God. And look, the Lord has blessed me to be a life teacher. I'll use life situations to help teach and preach the word of God, to help bring a better understanding to it, to help bring a better understanding to the word of God. I'm sorry if you don't like it, turn me off. I'm just saying. But it's life. This is life, y'all. This is life. We are living in a life where we need to have faith. We can't live this life, this natural born life, without faith. So let's read this verse because we running short of time, y'all. But let's just read this verse because I'm about done. But verse 37 says, Mark chapter 4, verse 37 through 41, it says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." Now, what I said, these verses are talking about walking in fear is unpleasing to the Lord. Now watch this. Verse 38. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto them, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" That gets on the Lord's nerves. And I'm going to show you, I believe that gets on the Lord's nerves. Because how can you say one minute that you serve me, but you don't have any faith and believe in what I can do? That would irk my nerves. How are you going to say I can do something, but you won't let me do what you said I could do? That'd irk my nerves. You asking me to do something, and I say, well, let me try to do the job, but you won't have faith enough to believe me, and you try to go off and do it yourself. Well, ain't no need of calling me then. What you calling me for? What you calling me for? You just wasting my time and your time following me. Same thing with the Lord. If you believe that God can heal you, if you have faith enough to believe that God can heal you, or you have faith enough to believe that God can bless you with something, or whatever it might be, and you go off and try to, and because you had to wait, he might have said wait for a million reasons. But those a million reasons why he said wait is a blessing within itself. How is that a blessing? Because I gotta wait. Because let me show you something. When you're waiting, number one, if you do it right, if you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, you're not only receiving the blessing at the end of it, but you're receiving multiple blessings on top of the blessing that you want. How? Because you have now increased your faith if you do it right. You have now increased your praise if you're praising him in the midst of the test, in the midst of the wait. You have now increased the move of God in your life, because God's going to move through you quicker. You see? See, I said, we're going to get in deep into this. Faith moves mountains. Faith itself. See, have we ever heard, you've heard the song that, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. Why do you think they adore him? If we get into the knowledge of God, come into the full knowledge of God, that's why it's good to read the word of God. Get into his statutes. Tap into what he wants from us. Because you know what? In this relationship, in this walk with God, there is stipulations from God. And yes, you can have some stipulations to the Lord. Now don't be crazy with it. God knows that you need things, and God knows that you, he said, try me. He wants you to try me. See if I should try me. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Try me. Try me and see if I won't come through for you. Put me to the test. Go ahead. I want you to ask me for anything. See if I won't do it. If you walk right before me, there's no good thing I would withhold from you. Try me. Try me. You don't understand. See, when he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding, that means, and in all thy ways acknowledge him. What that means is, trusting, believing, having faith in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Everything within, that means everything within you, have faith in him. Whatever you're going through, have faith in him. Whatever the test might be, have faith in him. Whatever is pushing you, press toward the mark. Press your way. Press your way to the church house. Press your way. Press through it. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. There's a prize in there, but you got to press. If you don't press through it, you won't make it. You got to press. We got to press. But this is what we got to go through. We got to go through it. We got to press. This is what I'm trying to show y'all. This is what God, I'll say it like this. This is not what I'm trying to show you. This is what God's trying to show us. I ain't just going to say you. He's trying to show me that too. Amen. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. We're almost done here. There's a scripture in Proverbs. And if we walk in faith that the Lord gives, he will provide for us. If we walk in the faith, if we walk, especially if you walk in an untapped faith, the faith that, look, if you want them mountains, if you want them big, giant mountains to be removed, then you're going to have to take some big faith to move them mountains. You can't be doing the same old, same old, same old to get better results. You can't have the same old faith. You can't have the same faith last year that you had last year thinking that you're going to want something bigger this year. You can't. You can't do it. You can't go off the same old if you want something from God that's bigger than what you had last year. Amen. You can't do it. But let's go to Proverbs. Let's go to the book of Proverbs real quick, and I'll show y'all. I'm going to show y'all what I'm talking about. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is where if we walk in faith, the Lord gives, he will provide for us. This is what it's saying right here. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, we just read it, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. Now watch this. There's a stipulation. There's the stipulation. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. That's the first stipulation right there. For you getting your blessing. That's the first stipulation of you increasing your faith. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, with everything within you. With everything within you. And lean not into thy own understanding, which means don't try to fix it yourself. If you're going through a problem, don't just sit there and wait and keep waiting, and then all of a sudden, Lord, you're taking too long. I'm going to try to fix this myself. You lean into your own understanding then. Don't do that. And then it says in verse number 6, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. What does that mean? What's that mean? Once you have an increase of faith, you acknowledge him in your praise. You acknowledge him in your worship. You acknowledge him in your giving. You acknowledge him while you're waiting on that thing to happen. Amen. Amen. I love the fact that I can acknowledge him in this. And it says, and he shall direct thy path. Have you ever noticed the Psalms 23? And we all know this. Whether you be saint or sinner, we all know Psalms 23. But the first part of Psalms 23, and this is faith. This all goes into untapped faith because we almost done. And this ain't even in the notes. This is what the Lord just gave me just now. Psalms 23, just that first part, Psalms 23. I'm going to read it to you. If you want to go there, you can. You can go there with me if you want to. But we're going to read that first part. It's not even in the notes, but the Lord just gave it to me. Psalms 23, just verse number 1. We don't even need to read the other verses. Verse 1 says, the Lord is what? My shepherd. I shall not want. All right, let's just look at that. That is a faith thing right there. That opens up faith right there. David is saying in this, he's believing that he is his shepherd. He's going to lead him. He's going to direct him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's believing. He's having faith in God, that he won't want for anything. A shepherd, if you look at what a shepherd is a person that tends to the sheep. A shepherd boy, if you want to call him, they attend to the sheep. If one goes astray, because some sheep will go astray, they'll leave the 9. He said he'll leave the 99 and go for that one. That's what he does. That's what the Lord does. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. I won't want for anything, spiritually or naturally. But David had enough faith to believe. He had that untapped faith just in that one verse. Just to say, the Lord is my shepherd. What? I shall not want. That's faith. That's that untapped faith. Do we really believe what we're reading? See, that's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of God. That's why it's good to get into the word of God and study the word of God. There's some people, they know, they read it, but they don't read it. That's what I'm saying. Get deep into the word. That's why I said we're getting deep into this topic today. We're getting deep into it. We're getting a knee deep into this, a leg deep into this. we've only scratched the surface of faith. We getting knee deep into this. We ain't just touching the surface. We getting deep. We going to scriptures. We pulling them out. This is life changing. Faith is life changing. It's a life changing thing. Amen. So David shows us that if we make him our shepherd, we won't want for anything. If we just have enough faith like David had to say this one little verse, verse 1 in Psalms 23, everybody knows it, just like they know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It's quoted everywhere. Psalms 23 could be quoted everywhere. Everybody know it. Whether you be saint or sinner, whether you go to church or don't go to church, you know about Psalms 23. But do we really know Psalms 23? Do we really know? I'll finish it. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That means he leads you. When storms are raging in your life and you got water, if you've ever been to a beach and you've seen the waves, if you ever seen somebody surfing and they're riding the waves, those waves get tedious sometimes. And it looked like them waves are about to take that person over, and sometimes them waves do take people over. And in our life, we go through waves in our lives, and the storms of life, the waves of life. But he'll lead us in our life beside the still waters, where it's so calm and so peaceful. But you got to get through the wave first. You got to have that faith enough to get through the waves of life, those storms in your life. Just like we read earlier, when Jesus was present on this ship with his disciples, they didn't have a faith. They saw this storm and they got bewildered. They were scared, and they went and they look at this. They lost faith, and they had literally had faith on the boat. Literally had faith at the bottom of the boat, and it looked like the answer was on the boat. The answer was on the boat. And it looked like it was sleep. But the answer wasn't sleep. It was right there. Only thing they had to do, if they had enough faith, they could have calmed the storm. The power that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater work, the Bible says, greater works than these shall ye do. You got the Holy Ghost. That's why I said, we believe that God can heal a toe, but we can't believe that God can heal heart disease. What in the world? Speak over your life. You got the power within you. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Speak over your situation. Speak over your power. Have enough faith to believe it. You don't need no prophet or no prophets to prophesy over your life. My former pastor used to say you can prophesy over yourself. The best prophet that you have in your life is yourself. The best prophet that you could ever hear is yourself. Why? Why am I the best prophet of my life? Why? Because you know your life better than anybody else, other than Jesus. Jesus knows it all. But you know it. You know it all too, because you live in your life. You're living in it. Everybody else is living on the outside of your life, looking in. They don't know the tears that you've cried. They don't know the tears that you've shed. They don't know the blood that you've shed in your personal life. But you are the best person to speak over your life. Yeah, God gives insight to people about people and gives prophecies and all that, and that's prevalent. It's right. It's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. But the best prophet over your own life is to prophesy over yourself. That's why I said, when you say, No, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. What is wrong with you? No, I don't walk up. Why do I wake up on the, if I'm wake up on the right, on the wrong side of the bed, no, I'm going to wake up on the right side of the bed because I'm on the right side. If I got to, if you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, get up on the right side. Literally. I'm joking, but I'm still, if you feel like you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, get back in the bed and wake up on the, get on the right side. Wake up on the right, get on the other side of your bed. Your spouse is laying there. Hey, look, babe, tell your spouse, hey, babe, if they on the right side of the bed, I'm literally on the right side of the bed, and you on the left side, hey, look, babe, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. Let me wake up on, let me get back in the bed and wake up on your side. Let me get up on your side of the bed so that I can have a good day. Amen. So that I can have a good day. Amen. Why? All right. So where do we get untapped faith? Where does untapped faith come from? Does Jesus just drop it down? Does Jesus just drop untapped faith or faith in general as just drops it down? No, he does not. He does not. He doesn't just drop it. We get it through the problems that we go through. We get it through the problems that we go through. In Job chapter 1, verses 20 and 20 through 22, you can go back and read that. We're running short of time, so I'm not going to read it, but you can go back and read that and see. But that we go with our problems. That's how we get this. That's how we tap into the untapped faith. I said it before about Job. He had people coming against him. He lost everything in one day. But because he stood firm on what he believed, because he stood firm on his faith, he got double for his trouble. Everything that he lost, he got it all back, and then some. When Solomon, King Solomon, when he asked for wisdom, God rewarded him. He said, I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you that, but I'm going to give you more than that. See, when you take care of God's business, when you in line with God, God will be in line with you. God will take care of your business. Amen. God will take care of yours. I love him. I love him today. Now, and this is our last little bit right here. We're getting ready to end it. But I had a question come in. Amen. And if you have any questions at the last bit of this, well, I'm going to give you time to send in your questions, and I'll try to get them. And if you want to email me, you can email me at atuggle425@gmail.com. That's atuggle425@gmail.com. You can email me. You can inbox me on Facebook right there at Adam Tuggle. Go right there and send me your questions, comments, whatever you want. If you want me to pray for you, you can send me your prayer request too, and we will pray for it. You want to remain anonymous if you want your – but I do say this. If you want me to pray for you and if you don't want your request to be made known, please put unspoken request because I will not put it over the air. Just out of respect for the person that says unspoken request, I will not put it over the air. You can tell me what it is, but after you put your request out there to me and ask me to pray for it, can you please put unspoken request so I will not put it on the air? In Jesus' name, amen. This last little bit, why do we go through problems for increase of faith? Why do we go through problems for increase of faith? I said it before. Without the test, there is no testimony. We go through these testing trials for three reasons. to increase our faith. That's number one. To increase our friends' faith, the ones that see us on a day-to-day basis, you know, our friends, the ones that we come in contact with, our family's faith, to increase our enemy's faith. Ah, you might say, well, how does that increase our enemy's faith? Oh, you might say, well, I don't need to be. No, yes, you do. We didn't read it, but in the book of Psalms, it says he prepares the table before me in the what? In the presence of mine enemy. What is that? He prepares the table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Amen. He got to prepare. He has to prepare the table. So in preparing the table, you have to go through the tests and the trials. And it makes them believe, okay, wait a minute. I said that that couldn't happen. But you trusted God enough in your faith to believe that it could happen. And it happens right in front of their face. Oh, man, he must be serving a mighty God. He must be serving. Man, I got to get where he's at. Boom, they just increased their faith. Your enemy's faith has been increased by what you went through. Amen. And you can find that, I'm not going to read it, but in Luke chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, and Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 23, and 39 through 42, you can read those. And it talks about in Mark chapter 5, I believe. In Mark chapter 5, it talks about faith. It talks about the man that had the dead daughter, and how Jesus rose her from the dead. And there were people there that did not believe, but Jesus threw them out, and told them, hey, look, you got to get out of here if you ain't going to believe. And you might have people in your life that don't believe where you might not have the same faith you are. Sometimes we need to get around people that have the same faith we do. That's why it's good to have a circle of good people around you, because the Bible says evil communication, what, corrupts good manner. It will corrupt your faith manner if you got people always negative around you. If you got people that's not having the same stature of faith you have, now, are you better than them because you have better faith than they do? No, that doesn't make you better. But, I mean, birds of a feather flock together, the saying says. Amen? So, at the end of this is why we have increased faith through our problems. For ourselves, for friends and family, and for our enemies. And for people that we don't even know. I'm going to give you an example, and then we're going to leave it there. When I went through my heart procedure, I went through a heart problem, going through. Make a long story short, this sister from my former church, she was watching me. And I asked the Lord, well, why am I going through this again? The Lord never gave me an answer until the end. And he said, I gave it to you. I allowed you to go through this to increase your faith and other people's faith. And he said that to me, and then he sent confirmation through the sister that went through the same thing I went through right after me. She said while she was going through, she kept thinking about what I went through, and she kept watching me. And when she went through it, she said, I believe that God can heal me because he healed you. I watched you go through it, and you never complained. She said, that helped me. I never complained when I went through. So at the end of the day, remember, If you don't remember anything I've said today, remember this, that God is able to take you to untapped faith. If you just believe, if you just have faith in him, you're going to reach that blessing. You're going to reach that goal. You're going to reach that dream in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. Acts 2 and 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. This is the only way to see the Lord's face one day in Jesus' name. And in the words of my grandmother, if y'all don't hear me again, if y'all don't see me again, I will see you in the rapture in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. Continue to wear your mask. Continue to do social distancing. I know that they're loosening up on mandates and stuff, but continue to be safe. Continue to be safe. The Lord wants you to be safe. The Lord wants us to use wisdom. Continue to be safe, y'all. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. God bless you all. I love you in Jesus' name. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Amen.